Okay. Okay, do you see the screen?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So we'll have inshallah the study of Surah Al-Baqarah starting with the ayah number 254. So in the previous ayat, you may recall it was mentioned that how Bani Israel were reluctant to follow their prophet in terms of defending their land and their rights, and the prophets were urging them and reminding them, and that was mentioned as an example for Muslims at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that they also think about what is happening to the city of Mecca and for their rights. And now we come to some of the guidelines and reminder about faith and belief. So the ayah starts, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate. O you who believe, spend from that which we have provided you before a day comes when there will be no trade, no friendship, no intercession, and the disbelievers are the wrongdoers. Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting. No drowsiness seizes Him, nor sleep. These are all things in the heavens and on earth. Who is there who can intercede with him except by his leave? He knows what is in front of them and what is behind them, and they encompass nothing of his knowledge except what he wills. His throne extends over the heavens and the earth, protecting them tires him not, and he is the exalted, the magnificent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, and telling the believers that they should spend in the cause of Allah, and reminding them to be charitable. Actually, anfiqu has both the zakat as well as sadaqat. So infaq means spending. and spending in zakat, that is obligatory charity, and sadaqat, voluntary charity. So both are mentioned here, and said both of them are included. Spend, there is the point here is that you are spending from what? Mimma razaqnakum, that is from what we have given you. So it is whatever you have is not yours, it is Allah who has given you. It is Allah who has provided you. So he is asking you that to give something from that. And it is not asking you everything. He is asking you something mimma from that. So it is both. It is a dalil that you have to spend from what Allah has given you. And also it is a tasheel. It is make it easy. That don't think that it's everything is required to give. You are not asked to give up everything, but we should give something in the cause of Allah. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. So first of all, understand that this is the rizq that has come to you from Allah. And Allah gives whomsoever He wills. He can take it away. So Allah has given you. Be thankful to Allah. And from that, whatever Allah has given you, you should give some to the poor and the needy and for some good causes. Infaq could be in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the protection of yourself, your community, and also for institutions of the community. And infaq is also to give the poor and the needy. And do that before a day comes when there will be no trade, no friendship, no intercession. That means here in this life, spend while you are alive. While you can do it, because you are going to die, nobody is here forever. And then after that, there will be a day, the day of judgment that is going to come. And on that day, your money is not going to help you. You cannot buy Jannah. You cannot buy salvation. You cannot buy release from the hellfire. La bay'un fi. On that day, there is no trade. That you say, this is what I have and I'm going to give it so that I can get the Jannah, get the salvation, get the release from the hellfire. La bay'a. On that day, there is no buy. Here in this world, you can buy and sell, but on that day, there is no buying and selling. That is the day of judgment. That is the day of recompense. And the deeds and what is going to help is not your money. What is going to help you, your deeds, your good deeds. So your charity, your good deed, that is going to help you. يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ. On that day, there is no trade. وَلَا خُلَّةٌ. And you will not find any friends who are going to come to you, your family members and your friends and your tribe and your community. They cannot come and release you. On that day, everyone will be busy with their own selves. يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. On that day, a person is going to run away from his brother and from his father and from his mother and from his spouse and from his children, because everyone is going to be busy for himself. They all want to protect themselves. And then also friends. You have here in this world, you have friends, but their friend cannot help on there on the day of judgment. Wala khulla, wala shafa'a, and no intercession. That means no one come and say, I have some special contact and I'm going to get you released from your punishment. So, wala shafa'a. First of all, here is mentioned that there is no shafa'a. Although in the following verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shafa'a is with the permission of Allah. But generally, there is no shafa'a without iman. There is no shafa'a in the case if a person has not recognized the truth. So in that sense, there is no Shafa. Nobody, if a person has denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not recognized his prophet, then there is no Shafa for them. فَلَاتَنْ وَلَاتَنْ فَهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. That is the Shafa. Shafa means somebody speak on your behalf. Somebody intercede. So that intercession will not be there because those who deny Allah and those who deny the day of Allah, the day of judgment. So that's why Allah says, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Those who deny the day of judgment, those who deny the importance of faith on that day, they are the wrongdoers. They are doing wrong to their own selves. Al-kafiruna humu zalimun. The disbelievers, those who reject faith, those who deny the day of judgment, those who deny Allah and the day of judgment, for them there is no shafa'a. So la bay'un fiha wa la khullatun wa la shafa'a. Wal-kafiruna humu zalimun. And the deniers of faith, the rejecters of faith, the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers, zalim. And of course, zalim is somebody who is doing wrong. And wrong are different kinds of wrong. Some of them are minor wrongs, some of them major wrongs. Zulmun duna zulm. That means some zulm is bigger than other zulm. Some zulm is lesser than the other zulm. But the biggest zulm is shirk. In the shirk ala zulmun azim. To consider that there is another God beside Allah, that is the biggest zulm, that is the biggest wrong. And those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the greatest wrongdoers. They are the greatest wrongdoers. And of course, the other kind of sins and oppression and injustice, all of them are called zulm. So zulm is a general term of the Quran that is used for all kind of wrongs. And among those, the biggest wrong, the terrible wrong, the monstrous wrong, is the wrong in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person denies Allah and denies Tawheed. And then we have the following verse emphasizing Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a magnificent verse. It is called the greatest verse. أَعْظَمُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ سَيِّدُ آيَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the greatest ayah of the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ himself mentioned that. This is the سَيِّدُ آيَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the master ayah. This is the most important ayah of the Holy Quran. And Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet ﷺ asked him, because he was a great reader of the Quran and he used to recite the Quran, a prophet loved to listen to him. And so Rasulullah asked Ubay, that is, you read the Quran, what ayah you think is the greatest ayah? So Rasulullah was examining him because his knowledge, his understanding of the Quran. So which ayah? Ubay, he is also known as Abul Munzir. His son was Munzir, so he was called Abul Munzir. Say, which ayah do you think is the greatest ayah of the Quran? And the first time he said, Allah wa Rasulu alam, Allah and his messenger know better. But then the Prophet asked him again. So then he gave his answer. And he said, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. That means ayatul kursi. This is known as ayatul kursi because there is a mention of the word kursi there. So Allah is ayatul kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, actually the hadith said the Prophet ﷺ tapped on his chest. He used his blessed hand and tapped on his chest. And he said, لَيَهْنَكَ العلم يَا أَبَا الْمُنْزِرِ. أَبَا الْمُنْزِرِ, may this knowledge bless you. You are blessed by the knowledge. Allah has blessed you with the knowledge. Be happy with this knowledge. لَيَهْنَكَ العلم يَا أَبَا الْمُنْزِرِ. So hadith of the Prophet ﷺ say that is, this ayah is the greatest ayah of the Quran. And in one of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, is authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever recites ayatul kursi after every fourth prayer, there will be nothing between him and the Jannah except death. That means as soon as that person will die, he will start receiving the blessings of Jannah. And then on the day of judgment, he will enter the Jannah. So he, even in his qabr, he will have the feeling of Jannah. The blessings of Jannah will start coming to him immediately after death. So nothing between him and Jannah except the death. And the death is the curtain. Once this is gone, then there is a life of barzakh, and then there is a life of hashr, and there is a day of hisab, and then after that, the final decision that will come. So it is hadith of the Prophet said that whosoever is makes a habit that every time, five times a day, after the fourth prayer, recite Ayatul Kursi. It doesn't take more than a minute to recite that, recite it, understand it, what it, the meaning is, because that reminds your faith, that renews your faith, that reminds you about what you stand for, what are your principles, what are your values you stand for. And the most important thing is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most important thing to believe that there is only one God. So this ayah is, it's one ayah, but this ayah is really the whole theology of Islam. What Islam says, what Islam teaches about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it starts with the basic principle, Allahu la ilaha illahu. So this is our shahada, la ilaha illallah. So Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is no God except He. So there is no one to be called God except Allah. Only Allah is God. And everyone else who is called God is not God. That is people's statement. In here, Allah asma'un sammaytumuhu antum wa abaukum anzal Allahu biha min sultan. And said, these are names that you have given, but it has no meaning. Allah has not given any authority for that. So there is only one who is called God is God. Allah is the Arabic name, Arabic word for God, and it is Supreme God. And this is the God that was recognized, that is the God that was spoken to by all the prophets of Allah. Prophet Isa alayhi salam spoke about Allah, that is Allah. And it is mentioned in the Old Testament as Elohim, Allah. So Allah, Elohim, Allah, all of these are come from the same. So Allah is the Arabic way of saying the God, Al-Ilah, the God. And this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for himself. And we should use this name in our, for the purpose of creating understanding with others. We can say God as the word, but at the same time, for ourselves, in our own ibadah, in our own worship, in our own conversation, it is important that we say Allah. So Allahu la ilaha illahu. La ilaha ilah Allah. There is no ilah except Allah. There is no God except the God. And God is, the God is the Allah, the Supreme Being. So la ilaha illahu. And this is a great emphasis that there is no God. Absolutely there is no God except the one who is Allah. Allah. So that's why it's very important to recognize that. And this is the faith that takes people to Jannah. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. The one who says la ilaha illallah will go to Jannah. And when we say Allah, we mean Allah who has beautiful sifat, beautiful attributes, beautiful names. So the Quran talks about many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are, names are generally recognized as 99 names, but actually the names are many. They're not limited to 99. So Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, there is no God except He. Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum. Al-Hayy means the living one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the living one. Allah does not die. Allah is not the one who dies and then he is becomes alive and then he die or something like that. Well, neither one time nor many times. No, Allah is the living one, ever living one. And also from the beginning, Al-Hayy. Everybody else, there was a time then he was not there. He or she was not there. Allah Ta'ala, al-insani hayyun min ad-dahr lam yakun shay'un mazkura. There did not come a time on the human being that he was nothing, he was not there. So there was a time when there was nothing, but Allah was. And there will be a time when people will be gone, and Allah will be there. So Al-Hayy, always alive, always living, the living one. So anyone who can be called the living one is Allah. And then Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum means the one who is qaim bi nafsihi wa qaim li ghayrihi wal muqim li ghayrihi. Al-Qayyum is the one who is by himself. He is the one who is self-existing, self-subsisting, and then he also provides substance to others. So nobody, he does not depend on anyone, but everybody depends on him. That's what mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Allahu Samad. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Samad is the one who is totally on by himself, totally independent, but everybody needs him. So Al-Qayyum is the same thing. Al-Qayyum is the one who is self-subsisting, eternally self-subsisting, always self-subsisting. And then after that say, La ta'khudhu sinatun wala nawm. So he is living one, alive, but also at the same time he is awake one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not gets drowsy and does not go to sleep. Everybody else sleeps because the people are weak. People need help. People need take some rest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vigilant, awake. He is take care of everything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to sleep or become drowsy and unconscious, then what will happen to his creation? So he takes care of his creation all the time. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. He is always aware. He is always under the care of his care. Of his, is always caring for his creation. La ta'khudhu sinatun wala nawm. There is no drowsiness. There is no slumber, and there is no sleep as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created slumber and he created sleep. He is the one who created that the people can go and take rest. جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ نَهَارًا جَعَلَ النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. He made the day for work and he made the night to sleep and to take rest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awake all the time and he's conscious all the time and he's aware of what is going on and he's taking care of his creation. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and in the earth belong to him. He's the owner of everything. He's the master of everything. He is the Malik and he is the Malik. Lahu means both Malik and Malik. That means he is the king, he is the ruler, and he is the owner. Everything, whatever exists in the heaven and the earth, it belongs to Allah. He is the one who brought it to being. He is the one who said, be, and it became. So everything is under his control, everything under his rule, under his authority. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Man zalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'iznih. So again, the point of shafa'a is mentioned here, that there is no one who can come in front of Allah and intercede on behalf of anyone. There is no one who can dare do that. In the majesty of Allah, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one who can utter a word in front of him. There is no one who can speak a word and saying that, do this, you Allah, forgive this person, forgive that person, or I make a judgment for this person. No, you cannot do that. Man zalladhi yashfa'u indahu. Who is there? Who is that person who can do that? Nobody has that authority. But Allah says, illa bi'iznih, unless Allah allows somebody. Allah gives permission. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission for whomsoever he wills and to whomsoever he wills. That means whomsoever Allah wills will be able to speak up. And then that person can speak up only for the one for whom Allah gives the permission. That is, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى. That is, the shafa'ah is only whatever is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is, there is no absolute shafa'ah for anybody. absolute shafa is, does not belong to anyone, but shafa is, yes, there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have the shafa. The greatest shafa will be given to him, but that is also an honor that will be given to him. It is not his right. It is only the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have his fadl, his blessing that he will give to him, and that is by his permission that he will be able to raise his head and speak. As the hadith says, that the Prophet will make a sajda, long sajda. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'asak. O Muhammad, raise your head. Sal tu'ta. Ask and you will be granted. Ishfa' tu shafa'. Make shafa'ah, make intercession, and your shafa'ah will be heard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a permission, and then he will speak. So man dhaladhi yashfa'u inda billahi. Don't think that anybody has right except whatever Allah, whomsoever Allah wills, and for whomsoever Allah wills. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. And he knows everything about his creation. مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them. He knows them, their present. He knows their future as well as he knows their past. He knows before our creation, before we came to the existence, and before our existence. And he knows what we are doing now. And he knows what we are going to do tomorrow. But later, everything is in front of him. As clear, so past, present, and future, they are not for Allah. They are for us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is very clear, very visible, very straightforward. He knows everything. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ. His ilm is muhit to everything. That his ilm covers everything, his knowledge covers everything. And as far as human knowledge, لا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. That human beings, they do not know anything of the knowledge except what Allah wills. Whatever Allah wills, they know it. So our knowledge is very little. وما أوتيت من العلم إلا قليلا. In comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our knowledge is like a drop in the ocean, even less than that. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is, the vast knowledge. He knows everything. And that whatever we know it by his will. If he wills, we'll have it. That's why we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma rabbi zidna ilma. Wa Allah, give us knowledge, increase us in knowledge. Allahumma inna nasaluka ilman nafi'an. Wallah, we pray to you to give us blessing, beneficial knowledge. وَنَعُوذُكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَى. And we pray to you to protect us from the knowledge that is not going to help. So knowledge is important, and Islam emphasizes knowledge, seeking knowledge. But again, the best knowledge is that you learn in the name of Allah. That's why the first revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ, said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. So seek knowledge, read, but read with the name of Allah, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ilm with ism, with the name of Allah, that is what is the beneficial knowledge, that will bring the knowledge that is righteous knowledge, good knowledge. So لا يحيطون بشيء من العلم. Nobody knows anything about Allah except what Allah tells them about himself. So the speculations, all of these things that people have made, they have made up their theologies, they are all based on ظن. وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. And ظن, the guesswork, is not going to help you against the truth. So truth is truth, and the truth comes from Allah. جاء الحق وذهب الباطل لا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء except whatever he wills. And وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض. And his throne includes or extends over the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this vast universe, and that is all kind of heavens that you have there. And then earth, and many other planets, all of them. And his throne is over above all of that. So you can imagine the greatness of the Kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of the Arsh that is on the Kursi. So Kursi is sometimes translated as pedestal and sometimes translated as throne, but there is also Arsh. And Arsh and Kursi, both of them, Allah knows their reality. How are they and how big are they? But they are huge. One cannot even imagine how big are they, because that includes everything. So Allah's kingdom includes everything. There is nothing outside his kingdom. There is nothing outside his power. There is nothing outside his knowledge. Everything is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حَفْزَهُمَا. And the preserving and guarding the heaven and the earth does not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tired. This is whose universe? And he is taking care of it. Does he get tired of taking care of it? I mentioned before, he does not get sleepy. He does not get drowsy or does not go and take nap. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not even get tired. He does not get fatigued by doing that. And he is taking care of his creation all the time. Every moment he is taking care of everything. وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حُفْزَهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And he is supreme. He is Ali. Ali is supreme. Al-Azim. And great. Magnificent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tremendous. Magnificent. Great. And the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that there is no one equal to him. There is no one like him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like anything else. There is no one resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no one equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no one who shares the creation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who shares the ultimate authority with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have 10 important points in this verse. And these 10 are very, very important to understand and pay attention to. This is what summarizes the Islamic position, Islamic monotheism, Islamic belief in oneness of Allah. So this ayah is a very supreme ayah. It's a very important ayah. And Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, used to call it the jewel of the Quran. It's the jewel of the Quran. And there's so much blessing in reciting this ayah. Also, this ayah is for protection. If you recite this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protection comes to you. And his blessings come to you. So there are 10 important points that are mentioned in this verse. The first point is, Allah alone is God. There is no God except Allah. Only Allah is God. And it's very important. Anybody who thinks that there is another God besides Allah, and anyone who has any doubt about that, his faith is in doubt. So faith means to have full belief and full confidence, full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah is Allah. And Allah alone is the ever-living, the sustainer of all. Allah is the one who is always living. And he was living and he is living and he will be living. There was no time but Allah was there. Allah is the one who created time. And there is no space that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the one who created the space. Space and time is created by him. And sustainer of all. Al-Qayyum. If Allah was not living, then who will was sustaining? Who will take care of that? So he is ever living and ever sustaining, ever caring for his creation. And Allah alone is free from the need of slumber or sleep. Allah is the only one who said that. There is no one who is always awake, always conscious. Every creation have to take some rest. This is part of the creation. Because when you go to sleep, you are refreshed. You need that. After long work, you need that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond that, because He is the creator, He is the master. Everything is under His care. Allah alone is the owner and master of all that exists. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. So Allah is the owner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the Quran says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. It starts with to emphasize, Lahu is mentioned before. It did not say ma fi samawati wal ardi lahu, but lahu ma fi samawati wal ardi. So lahu is emphasized before, and that means for him, to him belong everything that is in the heaven and the earth. So he's the owner, he's the master, he's the king, he's the ruler. And then Allah alone has the power to judge. There is no one. Man zalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi. There is no one who can judge. Ultimate judge is Allah. And His judgment is the final judgment. And nobody can challenge the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can interfere with the judgment of Allah. No one can say, I will make a judgment in front of Allah. No, it's not allowed at all. Even the intercession will be by the permission of Allah, to some people and for some people. And then Allah alone knows everything. So I mean, we have knowledge, and we are asked to have knowledge, but there is no one who knows everything. Our knowledge is very limited. Whatever we know is very little. There are a lot of things we do not know. Even we do not know things about ourselves, what to say about others. We do not know about ourselves. We do not know about our own mistakes sometimes. We do not know about the things that are going to benefit us and the things that are going to harm us. So whatever knowledge you can gain, is still there a lot more to learn. And always understand that فَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Over and above every knowledgeable person, there is someone who is more knowledgeable. And above them all is Al-Alim. That is, Al-Alim is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything. So only Allah knows everything. And Allah alone is the source of any knowledge possessed by human being. So whatever we know, it is something that is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge is, the source of knowledge is Allah. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عَلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Whatever He wills, whatever He allows that us to know, we know. And sometimes we know things, slowly we know things. And it's always be thankful to Allah when we have some knowledge, and we should use the knowledge in the right way. Because knowledge is a double-edged sword. That is, it can be used in the right way and it can be used in the wrong way. So knowledge has to be used in the right way. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, we pray to you to protect us from the knowledge that is of no benefit, or knowledge that is harmful. So knowledge can be abused and then becomes harmful and then become evil. Otherwise, knowledge itself is good, but abuse makes it bad. And some human beings, they have knowledge, but they are abusing the knowledge. And they are not acknowledging that the source of knowledge is Allah, and the knowledge has to be used in the right way. So Allah alone is the source of any knowledge possessed by the human being, and Allah alone has jurisdiction over all of existence. The whole existence, everything that exists, is under His control. That is, there is no one who has any power on anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of all existence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah alone is the exalted one and the great one. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. So that is, these are the important points that are mentioned here. And this is one ayah. And if it can be explained into volumes, to explain the whole Islamic concept of God and the nature of God, the qualities of God, the character of God, the attributes of God, all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest being. And to have this knowledge is a very blessed knowledge. This knowledge brings salvation. This knowledge brings this acknowledgement of this knowledge and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves the people. So we have to have this knowledge, and that's why we should repeat Surah Ayatul Kursi and recite it after prayers, recite it before we go to bed. Every night before you go to bed, you recite that. And during the daytime, recite it. People memorize this ayah. Most of the people know it by heart. Very good to recite this ayah and keep it in mind. Keep understand the meaning of that. This is the greatest ayah of the Quran. Sayyidu ayah al-Quran. A'azamu ayatin fil Quran. And some people say this ayah also contains the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ism al-Azam. And they say that Al-Ism al-Azam is Al-Hayy al-Qayyum. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum. Whenever there was any difficulty, he said, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. Ya, O the Living One, O the Sustainer, I seek your mercy, I seek your mercy. At the time of Badr, Sahaba said that the Prophet ﷺ was in Sajda, was facing a big army. The non-believers came to attack and destroy Islam and Muslims. Muslims are very small in number. And the Prophet ﷺ fell in sajda. And he was repeating, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. So, Aslih Lana Sha'nana Kullah. Oh Allah, that's why in all situations, and what we are going through now, we should pray again and again, Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith, Aslih Lana Sha'nana Kullah. ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفه عين او اقل من ذلك. Oh, the living one, oh, the sustainer of all, we are seeking help from your rahma, through your rahma, and make all of our affairs good, and do not abandon us, do not leave us to our own efforts, even for the twinkling of an eye, even for the twinkling of an eye. Even for a moment, do not leave us, do not abandon us. So keep us and be with us all the time, Allah. This is the great name, this is the great attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we say Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. And some scholars said that this is the greatest name of Allah, that when you use this name and you pray to Him by this name, Allah will listen to you, Allah will accept your prayers. So after this ayah, we have La ikraha fi al-deen qad tabayyana al-rushdu min al-ghay faman yakfur bil-taghut wa yu'min billahi faqad istamsaka bil-urwati al-wusqa la infisama laha wallahu samii'un 'aliim. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. There is no compulsion in religion. Righteousness has become clear from error. So whoever rejects evil and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks. And Allah hears and knows all things. Allah is the protector of those who have faith. He brings them from darkness into the light. As for those who reject faith, their protectors are the evil ones, bringing them out of light into darkness. They are the inhabitants of the fire, dwelling therein forever. La ikraha fid-din. Islam does not allow that you force Islam on anyone. People have to be convinced and have their own will, their own, by their own free will. So like raha fi deen, no compulsion in religion. It is said in such a categorical way that scholars say this is nafi, this is the denial, but actually it means prohibition. That means do not compel anyone to accept Islam. And it is mentioned that in Medina, before Prophet Muhammad came, the people, especially the Arabs of Medina, when somebody had the problem that his children would not survive, children were dying, sometime they will say that if my child survive and grow up, I will make him a Jew. Thinking that Jewish people are better people, their religion is better, so maybe this will make that God will be pleased and will make the children survive and live. So now when they became Muslim, they asked their children to come to Islam. And they wanted to force them to become Muslim. And the Prophet said, don't force them. You can remind them, you can tell them, but leave them to their own will. La ikraha fid din. So there is no compulsion, there is no coercion, there is no force allowed to convert somebody to Islam. La ikraha fid din. In the matters of deen, there is no ikrah, there is no compulsion. That doesn't mean that Islam does not make certain things obligatory, that you have to do them. And fit deen, and in accepting Islam, there is no compulsion. But once you accept Islam, of course, there are certain things that you have to follow. There are certain rules. There are certain things that are obligatory. There are certain things that are recommended. And there are certain things that are permissible. In a similar way, there are certain things that are haram, you should not do. There are certain things that you must not do. And there are certain things that you should not do. So la ikraha fid din does not mean that now you cannot tell anybody to pray. Yeah, you have to tell the people to pray because that's obligatory. Fasting is obligatory. When the time of the fasting comes, when the person reaches to the age, then you should fast. Zakat is obligatory. Going to Hajj once in a lifetime is obligatory. Taking the halal food is obligatory. Avoiding the haram food is forbidden, it's haram. Drinking alcohol is haram. You must not do that. So, and it is something that you can, you should, I mean, that these rules have to be emphasized and implemented. But at the same time, coming into Islam, accepting Islam, that is not to be compelled. That is something that you have to be convinced. And you have to speak to the people, give them the message of Allah. يُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلَ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمُعِزَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ أَلَّا سَمَدْنَا قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Actually, the righteousness is very clear. So you don't need to do that. You don't need to make a compulsion because the truth is truth. If you present it in the right way, inshallah, people will accept it. But we are the ones who are negligent, not presenting the truth in the right way, in the proper manner, with hikmah. But inshallah, if the message is given in the right way, most of the people, they will accept it. Righteousness has become clear from error by coming of the message of Allah, coming of Islam. Islam is a very rational religion. Common sense religion is a religion that emphasizes understanding. And then say, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So those who deny the taghut, taghut is evil. Taghut is that you go beyond your limit and do not accept the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everybody has, in order to become a Muslim, you have to deny taghut, that any power, any authority that tells you to do things against the command of Allah, you have to reject that. When yakfur bit taghut, you deny that. Wa yu'min billah, and believe in Allah. Accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do that, then you are holding something, a handhold that is very mighty, very good, very strong. فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. Then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold. This is a very strong handhold. That is to stick to Allah. To stick to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this handhold is not going to break. this handhold is there to support you and to help you in this world and in the after. Allah Samiun Alim, Allah hears and knows everything. Allah knows what you do and what you say. And then Allah said, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. So on the one hand, yes, the message is clear. What is righteousness is very clear from what is error. The furthermore, Allah is the one who is the supporter. Allah is the friend. Allah is the patron. Wali. Allah is the supporter of those who believe. And Allah will take them out from darkness unto light. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Zulumat is the zalam, and the plural of zalam is zulumat. So darkness in all kind of darkness, darkness of jahal, darkness of ignorance, darkness of injustice and oppression, darkness of shirk, darkness of sin, all of this. Az-zulm zulumat. The hadith of the Prophet says the zulm has different kind of darknesses. And every zulm has zalam. Every zulm has zalam. That's very similar word. Zulm is oppression, and zalam is darkness. So every zulm is zalam. Every zulm has darkness. And there are different kind of darknesses, but there is one noor, noor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah noor samawati wal ard. Allah himself is the noor of the heavens and the earth, and he brings people to noor. So yukhrijahum min al-zulumati ila noor. And the enlightenment, understanding, the proper vision, proper understanding. They come, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. But those who disbelieve, those reject the faith, they are supporters, they're awliya. Awliya is the plural of wali. Allah is wali. Allah is the supporter. But kuffar, the disbelievers, have their own wali, their own awliya. They are protectors, and they are supporters, and their patrons. Are Tawut. Tawut is that power, authority that takes people away from the right path. Transgressors. And Tawut here is used as a generic noun. It is actually, the plural is Tawagit. But Quran has used the word Tawut for both masculine, I mean for the plural as a singular. So their awliya are tawagheet actually. But instead of tawagheet, the word tawut is used, and tawut here is used in the sense of the plural. So their awliya are the evil ones, and they take them out from light to darkness. So the path of right, of light, the path of enlightenment, that is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then everything else is darkness. Darkness of ignorance, darkness of oppression, injustice, darkness of shirk, darkness of sin, all of this. And so they take them out from light into darkness. And those who stay in that darkness, and the darkness covers them. وَحَاتَتْ بِهِ خَطِيَّتُهُ, as the Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are the people of hell. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and they will be there forever. May Allah save us from that. So this section remind that people should spend from what Allah has given them, and they should keep in mind the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free, by free choice, and this choice has to be made with understanding. Otherwise, you don't have to compel anybody to accept that. And then you receive the friendship of Allah. You receive the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and keep us on the right path and help us to understand the truth as truth and follow it and keep us away from falsehood as falsehood. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. We have some questions. If we may, Dr. Siddiqui, go back to the Ayatul Kursi. Is it to be recited after the Fard prayer or the Sunnah prayer, every prayer, or only after the Fard prayer?
Yeah, after you finish your Fard prayer, You have to sit for a few moments for zikr, and it is good to recite at that time Ayatul Kursi. If you forget and you do it after sunnah, you can do that. But it is good to do it after the fourth prayer.
Okay. And of course,
people do that. As soon as they finish, they do some zikr. They say tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar. They say that. And also they recite Ayatul Kursi.
Okay. And then, of course, countless benefits of reciting the Ayatul Kursi. But can you mention some of the benefits here at this time?
One is, of course, that your iman becomes strong. If you do that with this understanding, you understand that who is your creator, who is your master, who is your Lord. So you are renewing your allegiance, your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and faith is a very powerful thing. So strong faith, understanding that Allah is with me, Allah is for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek His protection. And the second thing is that Ayatul Kursi is the ayah of protection as well. It protects you from evil. It protects you from shaitan. It protects you. If you recite this understanding, inshallah, you receive the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many people who hang this ayah in their homes, in their cars, in other places. It's okay, do that. But not just use it as an amulet, use it as to remind yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many benefits of Ayatul Kursi.
And Dr. Siddiqui, staying on the Ayatul Kursi, the ayah of no compulsion, it follows immediately the Ayatul Kursi. Is there any correlation, any reason why one ayah follows another?
Yeah, this is very important. Thank you for asking this question. Because the ayah speaks in such a strong way about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person may say, yes, this is the truth. And now I have to convert everybody. And I'm going to do something to force this faith to other people. And I said, no. I mean, this is the truth. No doubt about that. You have no doubt about your truth. So you're not compromising on the matter of truth. But at the same time, people have right to deny. If they want to deny, they deny. If they want to believe in other gods or other faiths, okay. On the day of judgment, Allah will judge that. So you don't force anybody with that. So that's why it's with this forceful ayah, immediately after that, say, La ikraha fiddin. Yeah, this is something you understand. So you go and tell the person, your non-Muslim friend, neighbor, anybody, say that this is what Islam stands for. And if he says, no, I don't believe that, what can you do? I said, all right, may Allah guide you. I mean, I have explained the message to you, but I'm not going to force it to you, on you. So that is, even places where Muslims have power, Muslims have majority, they're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to force people. Umar radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that there was a Christian woman who came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu said to her, believe that there is only one God. Believe in, accept Islam. She said, I'm an old woman. That's it, my life is like that. I said, all right. He did not say, Umar did not. Although Umar was very strong, but he did not say anything to her, left her.
Thank you. Dr. Siddiqui, may I just very quickly draw your attention to Surah Fajr. The ending ayahs, فَدْخُلِي فِي إِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Who is this ultimately good news? Who is it being given to? And when can we hope to receive this?
يَأَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to the soul that is satisfied. Satisfied in what? Satisfied in faith in Allah. Recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as God, as Lord, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Prophet and the Messenger and the guide. And that is what makes me comfortable. That is, I have a comfort on that. My heart is totally in itminan, in tranquility. Alhamdulillah, this is my faith. And you die that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to that soul, to that person, Udkhili fi ibadi, you are from my, among my servants. I go to Jannah. Udkhili jannati. The Jannah comes with this, when this iman is without any doubt. Alladhina amanu wa lam yalbisu imanahum bi zulm. Ulaika lahum al-amnu wa hum muhtadun. Those who believe and they do not have any doubt about that. They have no hesitation. That for them there is safety and security from hellfire.
And can you just end by speaking about some of the merits of fasting in Muharram? And when will we be fasting, inshallah?
Yes, Ashura is next Saturday, that is the 10th of Muharram, is next Saturday. And it is good to fast 2 days because the Prophet ﷺ said about 9th and 10th of Muharram, it's recommended to fast 2 days. So since you are joining, otherwise it's not allowed to, or it is not recommended to fast on Friday. Friday is like our Eid. But if you are joining fasting with another day, like Thursday or Friday or Friday and Saturday, then you can do that. So you can do both. You can say, you can fast either Thursday and Friday. No, I'm sorry, as Friday and Saturday. You can do that, or you fast Saturday and Sunday. Because Saturday is the 10th of Muharram. So either the day before or the day after. So if you want to avoid fasting on Friday, then you fast Saturday, which is 10th of Muharram, and then Sunday, which will be 11th of Muharram. And this fasting of Ashura was fard, obligatory, before the fasting of the month of Ramadan. But once the Ramadan fasting became obligatory, then this became nafl fasting. And this was done by the Prophet ﷺ himself, not by anybody else. So after that, he said, whosoever want to fast, he can fast on Ashura, and whoever does not want, they don't have to. But Ramadan fasting is obligatory. And there is a great reward. It was done because of Prophet ﷺ recognized that Musa alayhi salam took Bani Israel out of Egypt, and that day was the day of safety. And the day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and blessings upon them. And the people, the real followers of Musa alayhi salam, they fasted on that day. So Prophet ﷺ said, "Nahnu ahaqqu bi Musa minkum." We belong to Musa more than you. That means more than the Jewish people. We recognize Musa alayhi salam, we believe in him, and we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his followers from the persecution in Egypt. So all of this is a great thing. So he fasted and he asked the Sahaba that they should fast on that day.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. We will continue with our Hadith and Tafsir classes, inshallah, at the same timings next Sunday. And as always, remember to follow ISOC on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or check the weekly newsletter for all program details and updates. Dr. Siddiqui, may Allah bless you. May we join you for a closing dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-khayra kullahu ajilahu wa ajilah. Ma 'alimna wa ma lam na'lam. Wa na'udhu bika min ash-sharri kullihi ajilihi wa ajilihi. Ma 'alimna wa ma lam na'lam. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us good in this life and good in the life to come. Allah, we ask you all the good things, whether now or later, whether we know or we do not know, and save us from everything that is evil, now or later, whether we know or we do not know. All of these things, give us good in this life, give us good in the life to come, and save us from the punishment of the hellfire. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.